Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Really, really appreciate all these opportunities. And when Steve was leading worship, I was standing like behind the curtain there, down the stairs, and I just had to thought, I've got to be really careful not to sing too loudly. I don't want to put Steve off. I'm sorry, mate, if I did. But you just can't help it, can you? Just the sense of God's presence. And I feel like I've been rushing around a little bit of late, but this morning, just to come and stop and be in the presence of God. We are going to carry on this morning with our series, On Your Mind, a series where we're just looking at the whole issues of mental health. And last week, Clive introduced the series. And in essence, here, the point of what we were starting off this series by saying is that even broken trees bear fruit. And if you go through the Bible, you will see countless men and women who had issues of mental health. And yet God still used them. You cannot read the book of Psalms and not realize that David was depressed at times. And yet he wrote those books, and they are this phenomenal testimony of how God uses even broken people. And we wanted to do a series, you know, as we come out of lockdown and all these sorts of issues that are going on, where it just addresses some of these issues full on. And today we are going to address the issue of anger. Anger. We're going to look at anger and how anger can really affect our lives. Let me just read some verses first. I've got four verses from Proverbs and then a passage from Matthew chapter 5. If you want to look a passage up in your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 5. We'll read verse 38. Let me just read these four Proverbs first. Proverbs 14 verse 29 says this: people with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness, but a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. It's quite harsh. Proverbs 15 verse 1: a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Proverbs 15, verse 18 says this: a hot-tempered person starts fights, but a cool-tempered person stops them. And then the last proverb, Proverbs 16, verse 32 says this: better to be patient than powerful, better to have self-control than to conquer a city. And now let's just read these verses from Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, and this is from the Message version. Here's another old saying that deserves a second look: an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Is that going to get us anywhere? Here is what I propose. Don't hit back at all. If somebody strikes you, stand there and take it. If somebody drags you into court and sues for the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and make it a present of it. And if someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No tit-for-tat stuff. Live generously. You're familiar with the old written law: love your friend and its unwritten companion and hate your enemy. But I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer, for then you are working out of your true selves. Forgot your God created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best. The sun to the warm and the rain to nourish, to everybody, regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus for that? Anyone can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is this: grow up. Your kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others, the way God lives towards you. We did a survey at Trinity just to find out what were some of the issues that people are really struggling with. And one of the issues that came out pretty much the top is this, that people are struggling with anger at the moment. There what? Seems to be...
what?
Is it? Can we turn that?
Do you want to turn?
Yeah, could. Yeah, if we... Anyway, we'll do them. I'm just thinking, what is... Can we turn that? There just seems to be an awful lot of anger around. I think there's an awful lot of people who feel frustrated at the moment. Frustrated with being cooped up for a year, frustrated with opportunities that are lost. Jill and I, last night, we went out for a meal. We went to Covent Garden, actually. We thought, we just need to get out. Because we're frustrated, we just need to get out. And then as we went out, we walked around Covent Garden with some friends, and then there was this woman that was doing some busking, and she was singing these songs. And do you know what? Everybody just started dancing. It was in the middle of Covent Garden. This singer was just, she was singing away, and she had lost herself in joy of singing. And I think everyone was so frustrated, they just started dancing. But there was a lot of anger because people are frustrated, people are hurt. There's a lot of people who just feel hurt at the moment, physically hurt, emotional scars. And I think people are fearful. Fearful about futures, fearful about jobs, fearful about what other people think about them. And when you have that frustration, hurt and fear all boiling together, guess what? It boils over into anger. And so this morning, just briefly, what I want to do is I want to look at three things. I want to look at the dangerous power of anger. I want to look just briefly at the positive power of anger. And then I want to have some real practical tips on how to deal with uncontrolled, destructive anger. So firstly, the dangerous power of anger. I am sure that every one of us will have been in situations where we have known anger to literally blow things up, you know, and to destroy things. And it says that one of those verses that we read, it said, anger can rot your bones. Now, I don't know if you know anybody that has, you know, they are angry, but a lot of the time they are quite unwell as well. And of all the emotions that affects you, can affect your body, anger can be the one that just gets right inside of you. And it can stir you up and it can make you feel physically unwell. And anger can destroy families, it can destroy friendships, it can destroy communities, and it can change your ability to make good decisions. Anger can be incredibly destructive. Now, I'm sure you may have heard people say in the past, you know, you just, if you feel angry, you got to let it all out. It's good to vent your anger. Don't suppress your anger. And it's like we have this limited amount of anger within us, you know, this bucket full of anger within us. And if we just get this bucket of anger, we just tip it out neatly over there, then life just returns to normal and we're calm and placid. I just don't think that's right. In my life, I don't have a bucket of anger. I have a flaming factory of anger. And the more angry I am, the more this factory just starts producing more anger. And I think nowadays people are realizing that Proverbs is correct. When it says this, Proverbs 19, verse 19 says, hot-tempered people will pay a penalty. If you rescue them once, you'll have to do it again and again and again and again. And I believe that actually when you have uncontrolled anger, the more uncontrolled anger you have in your life, the more angry you'll become. And I think sometimes I've known anger, it feels like actually an addictive substance. You know, and I know people that are just consumed with anger. It can be very dangerous. Just briefly then, the Bible also says some surprisingly positive things about anger. This morning we are going to focus on the destructive side of anger, because we're dealing with, you know, we on this series On Your Mind, we're dealing with mental health issues and the way that it can negatively affect us. So we are going to deal with the negative impact of anger, of uncontrolled destructive anger in our lives. But we have to understand anger before we can look at that. We have to understand that there is actually a biblical way to be angry. I don't know if you know that. It says in the Bible, it says nearly 400 times in the Bible, it says God became angry. I don't know if you can think of a time when Jesus became angry. Anybody? Sam, yeah, turning the tables over. He got angry because he cared about this thing. He got angry when his mate Lazarus died. But why did he get angry then? Because he knew actually underneath we're not designed to die. In Ephesians 4, it says this. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Which means, therefore, that actually we can be angry and not sin. And sometimes I think, maybe sometimes I don't get angry enough about things that I should be angry about. You know, and then some people say, oh, well, I don't believe in an angry God. I believe in a loving and a kind God who's just nice to everybody. But I need to let you know this, that you cannot have a loving God who truly, passionately loves his people unless he's going to get angry when that love is threatened. It can't work like that. I just need to let you know, if somebody attacks my family, if somebody has a pop at my wife, if somebody tries to come in and sort of like disrupt the church, I'm going to get angry. I am. Because that's the right anger. So the problem is not whether we can get angry or not. It's how we get angry. And whenever I lose the plot in anger, I lose. Whenever I explode in uncontrollable, destructive, disordered, disproportionate anger, I lose. And the Bible says a fool gets angry. And do you know why? Because sometimes when I've become angry, I feel so foolish afterwards. You know, when God met Moses on Mount Sinai, and all these, the wind and the fire passed in front of him, what did God say to Moses? He said this, I am the Lord God, merciful and gracious. And then what did he say? And I'm slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Proverbs 16, verse 32 says this, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. And I looked at some stuff that Tim Keller had done, and he talked about the right anger is like a surgical anger, where you're not getting angry with a person, but you're getting angry with a problem. And you're not just losing the plot and just thrashing around and sort of like going to this Chernobyl-type state where everything blows up. But you're saying, no, I'm going to address that issue. And he talks actually about how we talk into, if you're a parent, how do you talk into the lives of your children? Whether your children are, you know, very, very young, or whether your children are adults and they're living lives in a way that is foolish. And he says, no, surgical anger. Just be persistent in the truth. Quietly and consistently insist on the truth. There is a right way to be angry. But today we want to say, no, what is it when this impact of this uncontrollable anger overtakes us that can be so destructive? I just need to let you know, the other day I filled up with our petrol station, the nearest petrol station to us, and Jill was filling up the car with petrol. I always let her sort of do the practical work in life. It's a bit easier that way. I went in there. Let's say I went in to pay, but actually I was probably going in there to buy some chocolate or something anyway. But I was in there, and then as I was waiting in there, this guy came in, and he said, he was revving his car behind Jill, trying to get her to move out of the way, and Jill's getting in a bit of a flap, and she didn't really know what to do, and she was, anyway, he was like, and then he almost like pushed her out of the way so he could get his car in the sort of like the petrol pump ahead, and he managed to squeeze his car through and got in there, and then he went in, and he filled his car up, and then he ran inside, and he said, oh, look, I'm really sorry. I've just put £3.50 worth of petrol in my car, but I've just realised that I haven't got my wallet. And, you know, but I know the bats. And the poor guy behind the till was saying, he didn't really know what to do. But then this guy was saying, no, look, I know the guy. He's my good mate. I know him. I come in all the time. I'll be back in an hour. I've just forgot my wallet. I haven't got it. I can't pay to you. And giving this guy a hard time. And, like, Lord, forgive me for this. But I said something to this guy. I said to him, I can see your wallet in your back pocket. Was that a good idea?
Yeah.
It wasn't, I tell you. But you know when somebody's got a pair of jeans on and they've always had their wallet in the back pocket and you could see the outline and you could see this bulge of this pocket and you said, look, I haven't got my wallet, there's nothing I can do about it. And I thought, you've filled up with £3.50 of petrol because you know they're not going to come after you with that. And then you just come in and you say that and now you say you haven't got your wallet. So I said to him, hey, you haven't got your wallet. Never have I seen so much anger. He came up, he was in my face. I got called every name under the sun. Then he came up and he went, he breathed on me. He completely lost the plot. And then he went out to his car and then he said to Jill, he said, is that your husband? He's a complete beep, 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 beep. And then he just stormed off and you think, oh my word, Lord forgive me, that probably wasn't the right thing. But in the midst of it, I thought, I can't. There were all sorts of things I thought I could say, but thought, no, just don't. I'm not going to say another word. Sorry. You know, I didn't want to I sort of like you poked a bear, you know, like you're thinking, oh my word. But I just need to, like, there's a lot of anger. I'm not even sure what the point of the story is, Clive, to be honest, but I had to tell you that. But you just think, oh, we're dealing with anger around us. How can we deal with uncontrolled anger? What the first thing is this, I think we want to do is this. We have to think about the cost of losing our temper and losing control in anger. Proverbs 29, verse 22 says this, an angry person starts fights. A hot-tempered person commits all kinds of sin. If I'm really honest, no, I can't, no. With that guy, but anyway, you think, no, I can't. When you lose your temper, you always lose. Uncontrolled anger pushes people away. It alienates people. It doesn't build people together. If you think about the times when you lost your temper, you think, what was the positive consequences of those actions? It's hard to see it. Need to let you know, every Wednesday, I go into Pentonville. And, you know, go in as a volunteer chaplain on Wednesday mornings. Pentonville Prison is filled with guys, people. It is guys, but like you and me, who simply lost their temper. Yeah. I promise you. Yeah. A lot of very normal people that we'd be able to go out, that could be our friends, but they weren't able to control their temper. And they just made some... I've heard some horrific stories. They just suddenly lost control. So first thing, if we struggle with anger, we do have to reflect, what is the cost of this angry outburst? The second thing is this, to overlook an offence. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says this, sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Sometimes people will say stuff to you. You know, there are some people that they just know how to push your buttons and they know how to get under your skin. And a lot of the time, it's people in your own family. They just know what to say. And they will wind you up. But do you know what? Sometimes mean and unkind people are often trying to say, I'm struggling. Sometimes they're just mean and unkind. But a lot of the time, they are struggling themselves. And Proverbs 25, verse 21, that we read earlier on, it says this. It says, just turn it on its head and pray for them. And try to provide for them and see how it works out. You know, those verses that we read right at the beginning in Matthew 5, it says this, no, it's not just about loving your friend and its unwritten companion, hating your enemy. I'm challenging you. I'm saying to you, love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When somebody gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer. For then you are working out your true selves, your God-created selves. When somebody really, really winds you up, turn it on its head. And my own personal testimony on that is that it does work. You know, I've known a couple of people that probably they're too similar to me and they wind me up, actually. And I thought, God, and I prayed about it. And I thought, God, what do I have to do? And I thought, the only way that I can do it is put what the Bible says into action and pray for their good and pray that I could bless them and pray that I could support them and pray that I could encourage them. It turns it on its head. Otherwise, we just get trapped in this like vicious vortex of anger. And God says, no, I want you to be free. And I believe that actually, you know, later on in a moment when I finish, we're just going to pray and Steve is going to come back and play. And I believe that God is going to come and minister into this. Yes. God is going to come and bring freedom from the captivity of anger. The third thing to do is this, is just to understand your anger. Understand where you are hurt. Understand where you are frustrated. Understand where I'm fearful. Do you know, I think a lot of the time when I'm angry at other people, if I'm really honest, I'm actually angry with myself. Sometimes when I'm driving and I get angry with other people, it's because I'm angry with my own propensity to always be late, if I'm honest. And I really don't like that. And I don't like... I feel it's dishonouring when I'm late, but actually I just do that. And I don't like it. But often we need to understand our anger. We need to understand what makes it, what causes it. We understand where we are fearful. You know, how many of us are fearful of what other people are thinking about us? You know, if I'm honest, if all the people in the world got together and started saying really nasty and mean stuff about me, I just need to let you know it would hurt. But I have to let you know, in all honesty, what God thinks about me matters more than what you think about me. And I'm not saying that to disrespect you in any way, but I just need to let you know that that is the truth. That what God thinks about me matters a whole lot more. Okay. Should I turn this mic off? Okay, I'm going to carry on with this mic. Understand your anger. The last two points that I've got about controlling our anger is this. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I know you're just thinking, no, Duncan, I want a really practical solution to know how I can control this temper. Well, what we've got to do is think about the cost, overlook an offence, understand your anger, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It sounds too simplistic, but I just need to let you know it is so, so true. It is very hard to lose the plot when you've been filled with the Spirit, when you come into a place of worship. I was talking to somebody just 2 days ago, and they'd come back into a worship service for the first time in a long time. And we did an encounter, and we just worshipped for probably about an hour and a half. And then they were saying to me, I don't understand this, but it's changed me. I've just been in the presence of God. And they were almost like worried about admitting it, because they said, I don't understand this, but I've been in the presence of God and suddenly I am changed. I am different. But when we're filled with the Spirit of God, then we have the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5 of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. The Spirit of God blows in our lives. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, when you go back to meeting in person, do not let wild horses or the apocalypse stop you being there next Sunday. Just come and be in the presence of the living God with other people. My last point is this: before we minister and allow waves of anger to fall back in our lives, is this. If you have not been baptized as an adult, I'd encourage you to get baptized. Romans 6 says this: should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by his glorious power of the Father, so now we also may live
new lives. You may think, oh, I'm an adult, I've been a Christian for years and years, it's too late for me to get baptized. Well, if that is the case, well done, you're just going to be like Jesus. He was 33 when he got baptized, and he'd known the Father for quite a long time. But he still got baptized because he said, no, publicly, I'm making this declaration of this is who I am. My identity is not in any emotion. It's not in any mental health issues that I might struggle with. My identity is in Christ. And we're gonna have to work out how we do baptisms in the new world when we come back to meeting together again. But if you have not been baptized, I'd urge you, say, no, okay, this is it. I want to get rid of some of these issues in my life. And I'm going to identify with Christ, and baptism is going to be one of those steps. I'm going to pray. And as we were worshiping earlier, I saw like waves of anger like dissipating and falling back. And you know, when the tide comes in, there are still waves that are hitting the beach, and you think, oh, this is overwhelming and I can't cope with this. But actually, if you stay there long enough, the tide is going out. And I feel, no, today is the turning point for anger in our lives. Today, chains of anger that have held us for years are going to be broken. That while waves might still hit the seashore, no, the tide has turned and it will never come back in again. But waves of anger are going to fall away, and we're going to find ourselves in the wide open spaces, the stillness of the living God. So Holy Spirit, we pray, come minister now. Holy Spirit, come and minister to us, I pray. Jesus. 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 Come, Lord. Father, thank you. Lord, when we've had anger just welling up within us, we want to say, come, we give it to you, O Lord. We give it to you, O Lord. Father, break these chains. Break the chains. It may be even that you're known as an angry person. And people have said things like, you have an issue with anger. You have an anger problem. And I just encourage you now to lay those words, to lay those things to one side, to forget those things that have been spoken over you, and allow the goodness of the Lord to come in again and say, no, you are my chosen one. I love you. I have good things prepared for you to do. Receive my spirit now. And as you receive my spirit, chains are falling off you. Chains are being broke. The chains of anger, of disproportionate, uncontrollable anger are going as you trust in Jesus. Father, thank you.